episode 186 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is Gaming for the Elderly. Today is September 18th, 2012, and I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law, and with us this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, Greg. How are you?
Also good, still.
Brilliant.
Good.
Great.
Excellent.
Sweet.
Sadly, Mike, you don't have a British counterpart this week. No Mr. Richard Primrose.
Whatever. He was weighing me down anyway.
I think so. I don't have anything more to say other than he values his sleep more than the show, apparently. What can you do? What can you do?
Yeah.
But we do have exciting news, because I didn't think Mr. Christopher Matthew was going to join the show, but lo and behold, he's here.
Yeah, I'm here, Greg, because I actually care about the show. I'm not sure why.
You know what? I don't know either, to be honest. But you know what? I think it's just that sense of community, Chris. It's that sense of belonging.
That's right.
Sure.
Needs me.
We'll run with that. That works. All right. So a couple things I want to just clear up real fast. One, we had a bunch of tweets, I guess, over the weekend about some people asking us to lower the volume on the I believe the new release's music. Apparently, it was a little loud.
Yeah.
Ba, 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 ba. And some people were having a hard time hearing what you guys were saying. So hopefully, crossing fingers, we have corrected that issue for this show. I guess proof will be in the pudding. And, you know, we love the feedback. So anytime there's something like that, by all means, I love seeing the community rise up and say, you know, love the show, but so that worked. Thank you. And
in the pudding. I would say all the sound effects. We could probably lower the volume on.
I know it is funny you said that, because I did go through and kind of did a little remastering, so hopefully that is the desired outcome. So we'll see. I'll definitely give it a thorough listen before publishing tomorrow. So hopefully, again, all will go well.
Don't lie.
You're right. I know. I'll wait for the fallout on the weekend. Like any good publishing company would. Yes, a new Fallout. It's coming. You can pretty much bank on that, can't you?
Yeah, but I want
to. I'm sorry?
Nothing. Drive on.
Okay. Driving on. Extra Life is coming up. I figured I'd get a plug in real fast at the beginning of Extra Life. The beginning of the show for Extra Life. It's a 24-hour gaming marathon. Basically, you know, those that are doing it on the VG Hub team are going to be gaming for 24 hours. We try and get people to sponsor us, fine people like Mr. Matthew himself. In turn, we take the money that's donated and we give it to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. So this year, a couple of other, the other VG Hub members are giving away some things, and I didn't want to feel left behind or feel like a cheapskate. So that said, I'm going to be giving away it's going to be every $20 donated, you'll get an entry into a drawing for a $60 or British pound equivalent Amazon gift card. So basically anybody can use it, and I didn't want to just keep it to gaming stuff because I do have some people that donate that aren't really into gaming. So I didn't want to just be giving away games. I figured this would be a little more practical. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about your donations. And I'll be sure to update my profile page and all that good stuff. But exclusive, exciting, breaking news right here, right now. Yeah, it just happened. All right.
Exclusive.
Let's talk about games.
Video games, Greg.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so games. Mr. Matthew, lead us through this. What's been going on your end?
Well, unfortunately, I was at work a little longer than I'd planned on being today, but I have Borderlands 2 queued up in my Steam account.
Ooh.
On your Steam account.
So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Before you panic, okay. Rich, before you panic, I bought it twice because I don't know.
Because you're loaded.
So my brother really wants to play Borderlands, but he doesn't have a 360. But he does have a PC. So I agreed that I would get it on the PC so that he and I could play. And then I got it on the 360 as well, because that's where most of my gaming friends are. But that won't be here until Friday because it wasn't eligible for same-day shipping from Amazon, and I'm too lazy to go to the store.
Really? Because I'm pretty sure mine's getting delivered today.
Well, then Amazon screwed me again, and there's going to be another UPS man in the river.
Okay.
That's 16 so far.
Yes.
If you're keeping count at home, that's CP Matthew 16 UPS guy 0.
Yeah. I think we're going to need another UPS guy. Anyway. All right. Well, yeah, that's exciting. Borderlands 2. I am excited to get some gaming in with you when your copy arrives. Anything else, Mr. Matthew?
No, I didn't do any gaming this weekend because I was visiting with my family back home.
That's okay. You're allowed. I mean, this isn't a pressure situation. I want you to feel like you've got
a test. I feel like you're putting some pressure on me, Greg. I really do. I feel like you know, I'm getting a little sweaty under the collar, and I'm not sure I like your tone.
We'll move away from you because I don't want you to get violent on me.
No, it's all good. I just haven't. You know what?
Now you're lying.
From recommendation from Stuart Fowler of the veterangamers.co.uk, that site's awesome. You should check it out. Preempted you, Chinny. I played Galaxy on Fire 2 HD on my iPad. That is a really clever little iPad game. I think I got it for 99 cents. So
okay. What exactly is it?
So it's kind of a space RPG. So it's a space arcade-y dogfighting game on top with kind of an RPG underneath. So you get your ship and you start out, and all your ship has is a drill. And so you fly around and you mine asteroids to make money. Then you use the money to upgrade your ship. Then you can go do combat and things like that. I've only just gotten started, but it's fun because you control it with the accelerometer, right? You can either use a virtual joystick on the screen, or you can just tilt the iPad to drive it around.
Okay.
So that's cool. And it's got I played another game that had tilt controls for the iPad, but it was like you had to hold it perfectly level. This one you can actually go in the options menu and just say, click, this is my resting position or whatever, and it'll you know, calibrate all your controls from there. So that's nice. So that's fun. I've been playing that. I do plan to play a little bit of Borderlands 2 this evening.
Okay.
Future tense,
yes. Mr. Matthew, bringing the mobile and PC gaming element to the podcast.
Where would you be without me, Greg? You'd just be playing on Xbox. That's it.
Apparently, yeah.
Three Red Lights podcast, and you wouldn't know what to do.
Oh, that was good. I like it. Mr. Chin.
Yo.
Talk to me.
No. So I played the Kung Fu Strike game. Do we know what this is?
I don't know what this is. You know, elaborate, please.
No,
Kung Fu Strike.
It's probably. It's
doesn't have
probably
anything
best.
To do with Kung Fu teachers in Chicago, does it? Oh, sorry, totally inappropriate.
I have no idea what that's referring to, but I'll carry on. Kung Fu Strike is an Xbox Live Arcade game, Greg.
Okay.
And Chris, just so you know, where you beat the shit out of other people. Right, and you press B to deflect, you press X to punch, and you press A to jump.
Okay.
Quite a complicated system.
Yeah.
And that's about it. There's a reason why you haven't heard of it, Greg and Chris.
Okay.
It's because it's shit. Wow.
Yeah, what made you... Should I blame this on Stuart Fowler? Is this another Stuart Fowler blaming situation?
Yeah, why not? I mean, he didn't tell me to play it or anything, but, you know, why not? Now, I sometimes, now and again, I look on the arcade list of games, and I downloaded this with, you know, Dogfight last week and Mark of the Ninja as well, and I downloaded this at the same time, so this is a couple of weeks old. But I just never got around to playing it, so I played it, and it was not very good. Sorry, I got the hiccups a little bit. I also played the FIFA 13 demo.
Now, you're not a FIFA person, so I'm curious to see what your impressions were.
See, this is the funny thing about me, Greg. People are quick to assume that just because I think football is crap, and for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to refer to your soccer as football. I think football is crap, and I don't watch it in my spare time. I don't know any football players. I don't give a shit, to be honest. But I do like FIFA now and again.
Okay.
Because it's a very good pastime. And it's kind of like in Britain, learning, you know, when your parents learn you how to swim, because, you know, they always say, oh, you know, it might be good for you when you're older because, you know, you might, it's a good social thing. You might need to swim one day. It's good for
you.
You
don't
want to
drown.
You don't want to drown. It's good, you know, for that, you know, when you're a teenager, you go swimming with your mates and all this. FIFA, it's good to learn it because one day you'll come to like a party and everyone's playing FIFA and you'll be shit. So it's good to learn. But I have no idea what the difference is between FIFAs. Like, the last FIFA I bought with my own money was FIFA 10. And I still have it. And it's a fine game, right?
Okay.
I have no idea what the difference is between FIFA 10 and FIFA 13. To me, they're exactly the same. I cannot...
Isn't there like a big whoop-to-do about like touch control this year? So I seem to remember hearing something about that. I mean, I absolutely have
when you
no idea
ball,
about this game.
It's a lot. I know where you heard it. Cause we can confirm where you heard that. And there was like, you know, the way you received the ball and moved the ball. It felt exactly like every FIFA I have ever played in my life. So, yeah. Also, I've been playing Syndicate, Greg and Chris.
Okay.
Syndicate is a first-person shooter where you shoot people and everybody has chips in their heads and you have to... You can kind of hack things from afar. It's a very good first-person shooter. It kind of lacks... kind of lacks like a hook. I mean, it's very stylized. And there's a lot of nice touches to the aesthetics, you know, nice kind of light effects, nice graphics, nice level design. But it doesn't really kind of have any massive character to it. You don't really, you know, you play it and you go, yeah, just corridor, corridor, corridor.
Now, can I ask, are you playing this solo or are you playing this co-op with somebody?
See, everybody asks this.
Right. Well, and I ask that because my impressions of Syndicate, and I didn't play the single player, so, you know, I could be way off here, but my impression of it was a game that really was designed to be played co-op and was kind of punishingly hard, even on normal difficulty, for just single player persons to try and go through it.
So isn't that funny? Because the co-op and the single player are completely different things.
Okay.
Go figure. Yeah, they're completely different.
Yeah, I played the co-op demo of that game, and it was kind of fun, but we got crushed. I think we played that, Greg.
Yeah, we got stuck on that final sub-boss
trying
to get out that damn door, and this guy just was mowing us down every time we would leave the door.
It's not an easy game.
It gets doable.
Yeah.
It's not an easy game. You have to use your hacking abilities because you can make people commit suicide or let them fight on your side for a little bit and then they commit suicide, or you can have a loaded gun. And you really have to use all those things at once. And there's one bit that I did today where two turrets came out and then loads of people came and they're throwing grenades, and you can hack the grenades so they don't detonate. You can hack the turrets so they start shooting them, and then you can make a few of them commit suicide. You can make one fight on your... So you've got to use them all. Yeah, properly at the same time, to kind of kill the kill box, to kill everyone in that room. So it's definitely not an easy game. It's fun. It's better than I thought it would be. And every gun has, like, an alternative shoot mode and stuff, so that's fun. Came across a gun today, and it was just a massive laser gun that obliterated everything. But as I said, it doesn't really have, like, a character to it. It doesn't have, like, interesting characters in it. It doesn't have a believable world that you think this is real. And it doesn't immerse you in some way that you think, oh, this is so mysterious and cool. It just becomes a very decent first-person shooter with some extra hacking abilities, but nothing more. It doesn't really go, oh, this is, like, such a cool world. This is so fantastic. It kind of gets that all out of its system in the first two levels or so, and then you move on, you get over it, and you're just playing it to shoot people and hack their chips, and that's it. It's a good first-person shooter, but it's not gonna draw you back anytime soon. I haven't played the co-op mode yet, though, so maybe that'll change me.
Okay.
Maybe that'll change me. And a little bit of Halo Wars with you, Greg. Today.
Yes, yeah. That was kind of fun.
That was kind of fun. We won.
I know. Well, you won two matches in a row. When I jumped on... apparently, the other team that was playing against you and Matt freaked out
and
just quit out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, hey, victory achieved.
Yeah.
And then we got on a big 3v3 match, and we rolled those guys. I mean, that was the first time I think we've had that kind of decisive victory.
Yeah, and it was just by strength in numbers. I think it was just I had three or four bases, so when they attacked one, it wasn't really a big deal. I just kind of recovered from it very quickly and attacked their base back.
Yeah, I think, the tip to any future Halo Wars players is turtling down on one base is probably the worst strategy you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get out and expand as quickly as possible.
Yep.
But, you know, always keep
don't
in
give
mind
away
you have
our
to
tips,
have
Greg.
Fences.
Don't give away. We might be playing 3-on-3 with some people on this community. We don't know, yeah?
Hey, I won't give away all the tactics.
Nah.
But, So, Halo Wars, though, fun stuff. Continuing to be fun.
It is,
Mr. Matthew, we need to get you in there.
Yeah,
I completely forgot to bring my Halo Wars back with me when I went home last weekend. I'll grab it when I go home this weekend.
If I remember, I will text you hateful messages until you say I'm bringing it home.
Don't do that, Greg. I know people who can do bad things.
That's true. Never mind.
Never mind. for me, Greg.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, we already talked about Halo Wars. A little more Madden 13 over the weekend, prepping for the multi-league season that we've got starting up this coming weekend. So there's still room, by the way, for anybody interested. We'll cover that, though, in the community events. More Mark of the Ninja.
Did you buy that?
I did, yes. I love this game.
Yeah.
It is a great arcade title. Whenever I play this game, I think two things almost every time. One, why was this not in Summer of Arcade? It still baffles me.
Yeah.
Because it released so close that you know they could have gotten it in there.
They could have just extended it and just went, oh, yeah, this is Summer of Arcade.
Something. And two, it just reminds me of how good the download arcade titles have become on PSN and, you know, Xbox Live Arcade.
Yep.
It just is such a stark contrast to the way they first were when they, you know, arcade was first coming out. The titles were pretty piss poor, to be perfectly frank, with the exception of, like, Geometry Wars.
While we're talking about it, I'm going to buy some points right now.
Okay.
To get that game.
So I also checked out the F1 2012 demo.
Uh-huh.
Not a big fan of F1 games, but, you know, I wanted to check it out. The demo was up.
So who is a big fan of F1 games?
Oh, gosh. Everybody on Gate except for me, apparently.
Matt, who play Halo Wars, is a massive fan.
Okay, Matt, David the Alien.
I know the G4T people.
G4T.
Mark
love
Alex
it.
Loves it, yeah.
And I can see why, because... it's polished. It's a very technical racer too, so you can't pull like a Burnout Paradise City kind of running amok.
No.
It's not going to work out well for you. But I mean, you know, for what I got, you know, in my brief time with the demo, it looks like it's going to be another fantastic F1 title. I'm sure the gate community will be embracing it. I've already seen the thread growing every day. It seems like there's more and more posts in there. So I know people are getting super pumped for it when it comes out. If not already out, I'm not sure when it comes out. Then after that, Fable the Journey. I downloaded the demo.
Oh, damn.
Yep. Fable the Journey. This is the Kinect Fable title.
I didn't even know there was a demo for this.
Yeah. Came out yesterday, as a matter of fact. Right. So I sat down with it. I liked what I played.
But no, Greg, why?
So
I try to like it, Greg. I really do.
Did you try the Fable demo?
No. But I try to like you.
I know. You do try to like me. It's tough times at times. But so here's I'm going to preference this all with, look, I'm not buying or you know, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid yet. Yes, the demo, what I played of it, I enjoyed. It worked. I see where they're going with the game, but I have concerns. One is that, you know, there is an on-rails element to the game. The demo doesn't show any of the free roam stuff. So apparently you're able to, you know, drive a horse and carriage kind of, you know, to and from, you know, areas. So I don't know how that plays because they don't show that in the demo.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, concerns about how that works, concerns about how just repetitive the combat may feel over time. I don't know. But that all said, spell casting was fun. It worked. You know, it uses hand gestures and motion. So, you know, your right hand is basically your offensive spells. So you raise it up like if you were riding a bike and you were going to make a left turn. So you have your arm raised up, you know, like a left-hand turn sign. That pulls up basically like a lightning bolt spell or like a pulse blast. And to cast it, you literally just flick your arm forward, aiming where you want to throw it. The Kinect reads it correctly. It makes you go through a calibration process. You can do it sitting down. I did it sitting down on my couch. Your left arm is more your defensive spells. So there's like a shield. There's a hold spell. And as I got into it and I was fighting Hollow Men, I was finding myself casting my hold spell with my left hand and giving a flick and literally being able to pull off their arms.
Okay.
So I pull off an arm. And with the right hand, I cast a lightning bolt or a spark ball, if you will, and you can use a little aftertouch with it. So let's say you cast it up high to the right, and maybe the creatures you're fighting are down to the left side of the screen, but maybe behind cover. You can then, after you throw it forward, flick your wrist, if you imagine kind of like throwing a ball forward and then flicking your wrist down to the left, it'll actually make the ball change direction and come back down to the left. So in a sense, you can go over cover and come back around and hit him from behind. And like I said, it worked. The story definitely feels Fable, and they have a good tutorial to it. But again, I preference this all with, I do have some concerns about, you know, wanting to see other elements of the game that weren't present in the demo. And, you know, look, I was burned by the Steel Battalion demo because, you know, that game ultimately was not good and it demoed pretty well. So I want to see more reviews come out on this game before I'm drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, hey, this game actually is good. But the demo for what it is and how, you know, it showed, yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time with it. You know, does
well,
it?
Well,
I
can't really say anything because
No, I get that, and I'm not trying to say this is a game that you should be running out and buying a Kinect for because, you know, again, I think it is a good game at least on the demo. It demos well, but you know, you need to buy Kinect for the silly motion control games and understand that that's what it's primarily going to be doing for you, not some hardcore experiences that you're really going to be thriving on and enjoying. There's going to be those. Fable is going to be a little more hardcore than, say, Kinect Sports, but ultimately, Kinect Sports, the fitness stuff, the Dance Central stuff, that's what you get Kinect for. And if you want that, there you go. But anyway, so...
Well, okay.
Yeah. The only other demo is in the queue to download right now is Resident Evil 6, which also is out on the marketplace today. So if you're wanting to check out how Resident Evil 6 is, you can download the demo now. I'm not terribly excited for this. And this is probably soured by my experience over the weekend. So just to sidetrack real fast, my wife and I decided we were going to go out to a movie night Saturday night. Originally, we were going to go see Batman, but then we realized the movie was far too long for when we had our babysitter, and we were going to be over an hour late getting back home. So we quickly shifted our plans, and we were looking at what movies were available. And, well, Resident Evil was the only one that fit the time slot for us. And, yeah, so we begrudgingly said, all right, well, let's just – we'll slide over to the Resident Evil movie theater. And it started up, and as soon as it started up, my wife's like, I can tell this is going to be bad. And about 2 minutes into it, I turned back to her and said, yeah, I think this is going to be bad. And about 15, 20 minutes into the movie, I turned to my wife and I said, you know what, let's go to the front and tell them our babysitter just called us and our kid is sick, and let's see if we can get vouchers to get out of this.
Really? So
it was so bad. I cannot say enough how much you need to avoid that movie.
Which one is it? Resident Evil what?
Resident Evil Retribution, I think, is this one. I could be wrong on the title. It's the latest one. It's out in the movie theaters right now. But you know it's bad when you get into a movie that's the fourth, you know, the fourth movie in a series, and they spend 5 to 10 minutes with a narrative telling you what has happened in all the previous movies, because the plot is so convoluted that you will be utterly lost without that. And
Retribution.
Yeah. Not good. You know, and I wasn't expecting anything fantastic, but you know, I kind of some of the trailers look like, oh, maybe they spent some money on the movie, but even the special effects didn't seem like they were that good. So, anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
So dear.
That soured my you know, taste for
Resident Evil.
So now I'm fearful that the demo is going to be as bad. But anyway, we'll see, I guess, right? Okay. It is time. I guess we can move into some new releases. All right. So, new releases out this week. On the Wii, well, nothing except for some WiiWare. There's La Mulana. Yeah, that game. Out on WiiWare. $10 on it. We've got a lot of other Nintendo news to be talking about down the road here, but for now, we'll talk 3DS. NCIS, Mike. NCIS out on shelves.
Yes.
And you can also pick up Retro Pocket.
Okay.
Yeah, Retro Pocket. Moving over to the PS Triple this week, Borderlands 2 comes out to retail shelves. F1 2012 is out this week as well, so there we have it. Street Fighter 25th Anniversary Collector Set comes out to the retail shelves. A whopping $150 US for that bad boy, so hopefully you like your Street Fighter if you're picking that up. PSN games out this week, Borderlands 2 and F1 2012, both available for download on the PSN. Harvest Moon, It's a Wonderful Life Special Edition, that's a PS2 classic coming out on PSN this week. Jet Set Radio, also coming out, along with River King, SSX, and Zuma's Revenge. On the minis front, Feisty Feed. Yeah, Feisty Feed.
Okay.
Demos out this week, Damage Inc., Resident Evil 6, and Zuma's Revenge. And DLC coming out to everybody this week, not just the premium members. Battlefield 3 Armored Kill DLC available. I've been hearing some good things about that, by the way. I'm very tempted. see. Moving over to the Xbox 360. Well, I should say there is no PS Vita updates this week, from what I understand. So maybe a Feisty Feed, I guess, is available if you wanted that. Again, yeah, I don't know. Xbox 360. Moving along, retail shelves: Borderlands 2, F1 2012, Harley Pasternak's Hollywood Workout. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know what I'm getting instead of Borderlands 2.
Exactly. I am sending my copy back right now. Also, Kinect National Geographic TV out this week. Kinect Sesame Street TV out this week. And Kinect Sports Ultimate, which I believe is a double pack of the Kinect Sports games, out this week. And, of course, the Street Fighter 25th Anniversary Collector Set, also out this week. Xbox Live Arcade, Jet Set Radio comes out. And demos, we already talked about them. Fable the Journey and Resident Evil 6, all available for you this week. As well as F1 2012, but I think that came out last week. I'm not positive. And it should be noted, on PC this week, we of course have Borderlands 2. But more importantly, Torchlight 2 comes out via Steam this week. So, Mr. Matthew, that might be something you should be looking at. Torchlight 2. $20 on Steam. It's a good deal. And that's it for the new releases.
Ta-da!
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, so rolling right along into the news quiz. I hope you guys have studied up on the Wii U.
Oh, yes. Oh, of course. I know my Wii U like the back of my hand.
Excellent. That's why I'm going to be asking Chris the first question. Mr. Matthew, are you ready?
Sure.
All right. Nintendo finally released the price and release date for the Wii U. Coming out on November 18th, how much will you have to pay for a basic Wii U gaming system? Is it A, $249.99, B, $299.99, or C, $349.99 U.S.?
I'm going to go with $350 U.S. dollars.
You are close, but not correct.
What?
So for the Wii U Basic, it's $299.99.
Oh.
The Deluxe Edition comes out at $349.99. The differences between the Deluxe and the Basic amounts to more or less 8 gigabytes of internal storage versus 32 gigabytes of internal storage and an HDMI cable included. I guess there's also on the deluxe version, you get a Wii Pad controller holder as well as a console holder in case you want to stand it up on its side. And the basic is white, and the deluxe version is all black.
I can't believe this. According to Time Magazine, some retailers have already sold out on their pre-orders. I can't believe people are going to fall for it again.
Oh, I believe it. But I also believe that Nintendo more than likely is constricting how many units are coming out. I already know that they have said that they're not going to be selling any extra, like, Wii U gamepads on their own. You will be able to buy them at a later date, by the way, for a whopping $173 U.S. But they're not selling any of them right now, and my guess is they just weren't able to produce enough in time for production, so they're holding back on selling those by themselves. But, yeah, typical Nintendo. They like to kind of control the supply chain and make it feel like there's a huge demand for the system. So we'll see.
I see.
But, Mike, here's a question for you.
All right.
We know the Wii U is coming out in the U.S. on November 18th. When's it coming to Europe? Is it A, also on November 18th, B, November 25th, or C, November 30th?
I think November 30th.
I think you would be right, yeah. So Europe getting it November 30th, and as of this time, I don't believe they've still set a launch date for Japan. So this is coming out first in the U.S., then Europe, and a later date Japan. Kind of surprising. maybe they just feel like they don't have that much competition facing them in Japan right now, and the real battlefront is the U.S. and Europe.
Well, maybe like they just haven't announced the release date for it, yeah?
Also could be true. Mr. Matthew, what game is coming exclusively to the Wii U? Is it A, Bayonetta 2, B, Cabela's Dangerous Hunt 2013, or C, Fuse Overstrike?
You know what? I think Bayonetta 2. That's just crazy enough.
That would be a great guess. Yes, Bayonetta 2 is coming out exclusively on the Wii U. Basically, it's being co-published by Nintendo, so the realities are this game probably never coming to an Xbox or Sony PlayStation console unless they pull a Ninja Gaiden Sigma on them. But I guess Sega was also saying that they probably weren't going to make this game again. They had actually canceled it out, but Nintendo came to them and said, hey, we want this game to come to our system. So there you have it. If you want to play Bayonetta 2, even though it's never been on a Nintendo platform before, you need a Wii U. Mike,
yo.
Moving on. Yes, Nintendo has promised how many games in their launch window lineup?
6,968.
Not quite. Is it A, 20, B, 35, or C, 50?
50, Greg.
It is indeed 50, yeah. Even more kind of crazy is their launch window, according to them, is November 18th to March 2013.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big launch window.
Yeah.
But yeah, so a lot of titles. I'll run through them real quickly. Actually, I'm not going to run through them real quickly, but the highlights really are Bayonetta 2, The Wonderful 101, which was the P100 game before. It's now The Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3, there's Zombie U. Let's see, just looking at this list real fast just to try and pull out some of the highlights. I mean, you've got Alien Colonial Marines, which I think is actually going to be pretty good on this system, all things said
yeah,
and done.
Yeah, I think it'll be good on any system.
Yeah, Rayman Legends. And then, you know, you've got a lot of other games like Madden 13, FIFA 13. So they're going to have a big launch lineup. But again, that's over, 4 or 5 months. So take that for what it is. All right, Mr. Matthew, coming back to you. What other big service did Nintendo announce when they announced the pricing and street date? Is it A, Wii Play Free Play, B, Nintendo TV, or C, Nintendo Spy?
I suppose I don't get any contextual clues here.
No, those are just three different names of services that potentially announced by Nintendo.
Everyone's trying to go to media hubs, so I'm going to go with Nintendo TV.
That is a spot-on evaluation. Yes, Nintendo TV, that's TV and then II at the end of it, was announced. Basically, the service will allow users to watch movies, sports, and television via the Wii U, include social features allowing viewers to connect with the Wii U users via Twitter and Facebook and other services while still engaged using these other TV features. So it'll have Netflix, it'll have Hulu. It also is going to be able to utilize your DVR, or TiVo. So if you have TVR or DVR service through your current cable provider, and it does have to be a current cable provider to do this, you'll be able to tap into that and actually run those systems through the Wii U. So there's no additional cost to do that, no monthly fee. But, of course, you do have to have those systems in place. And my guess is your cable provider will still make you have a cable box in your house. They will not allow you to not have one. All right. Mike, let's shoot back over to you. What new game was announced by BioWare this past week? Is it A, Dragon Age 3 Inquisition, B, Mass Effect Spectre Ops, or C, Jade Empire Fists of Redemption?
Where do you get those names from? Fists of Redemption, Jesus Christ. Dragon Age 3, Greg?
Yes, Dragon Age 3 Inquisition was announced. It's the next chapter in the award-winning role-playing game franchise. Yeah, I mean,
I still have Dragon Age 1 on me. Still haven't played it.
Okay. Mm. They did say that they have listened to what the fans are asking for. Of course, they say that every time. So, great story with choices that matter, a massive world to explore, and deep customization and combat that is both tactical and visceral, all promised by BioWare. They said they are now working with DICE to make Frostbite 2 the foundation for the engine that is going to power Dragon Age 3. So, again, Frostbite 2 powering everything that EA touches. All right, Mr. Matthew, changing over to you. What Rare game IP was teased by Microsoft via the Play Xbox Live Arcade site? Was it A, Killer Instinct, B, Conker, or C, Banjo and Kazooie?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Killer Instinct. What the heck?
That's a great guess. No, in fact, Microsoft sent off Play Xbox Live Arcade sent off a very cryptic message, basically saying that, well, here's the message itself. With all due respect to our friends in the media who like to frequent trademark sites, we thought we'd break this one ourselves. Our legal eagles have authorized us to say we have either renewed or refiled a trademark application in various jurisdictions. Turns out it was Killer Instinct. So, Killer Instinct probably coming to Xbox Live Arcade sometime in the future, whether it's a remake or just a kind of an HD-ified Killer Instinct, that remains to be seen. But my guess is we'll hear more about that soon.
Killer Instinct.
Yeah. All right, Mike, you get the last question, and this is breaking news. What gaming icon or icons have announced a shocking retirement? Is it A, Tim Sweeney, B, Randy Pitchford, or C, the BioWare doctors? What do you think, Mike? What does Google tell you this time?
I'd say the doctors.
That is a great Googling, Mike. Yes, the BioWare co-founder.
I didn't Google it.
Yeah, Ray Mazzucchia and Greg Zezek, and I'm butchering their names, I know that. But they announced they're retiring from BioWare. Basically, Ray said this on his blog, the decision to leave the video game industry is hard to explain, but essentially I feel similar now to how I felt in the early days of BioWare over the decade post-medical school. While I was still practicing as an ER physician, back when I first realized the world of video games was my next career chapter. Two wonderful decades working at BioWare and later EA was the result of that decision. It's not often that you can truly say you were able to pursue and achieve your dream job. I know how lucky I am to be able to say that now in my early 40s. Son of a bitch. And Greg's sentiment was very similar in nature. He says, at BioWare, we've always valued the effort of the team as well as the Herculean efforts of the passionate individuals. I've had the privilege of working with some of the best people in the games business. Some of them are well known, some are not. What every single one of them does is commit himself or herself fully to the act of doing great work, whatever it is, and they stubbornly pursue the goal until it's achieved. The amazing thing about working at BioWare is that everyone does this. It is part of the culture we helped foster and grow. BioWare's foundation in its core values, passion, and professionalism remains in the very fiber of the company. One thing I'm confident of is that we've built a great team that will continue to succeed long after I'm gone. The thing I'm most proud of is the success of the people that we've helped grow over the years. I hope all of them exceed anything I've ever done and eclipse our achievements. I have full confidence in the current leadership team guiding BioWare to continued future success. So, yeah, BioWare's, that's pretty shocking. But
yeah.
I don't know, maybe not that shocking. All things considered, I mean, think about all the heat BioWare has gone through over the past, 2 years between Dragon Age and the big kerfuffle Dragon Age 2 caused with the way that game was made, then Knights of the Old Republic kind of being this huge success story and floundering success story all in the same breath because, you know, they just weren't as big or successful as they thought. And then Mass Effect, that whole debacle. I have no doubts these guys were just like, you know what? This just isn't worth it anymore.
Maybe. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's just, I don't know, like, they feel like, you know, the end of a trilogy, they need to pass it on, or...
Well, speaking of that, they did have additional things. Let's see. This was sent out by Aaron Flynn, who's the general manager of BioWare. It says, Ray and Greg built BioWare to last. They've always known their retirement would come one day, so they've developed a team of people who would ensure their standards and culture would endure. We'll humbly carry on the torch and continue learning from the process, which basically is meaning new Mass Effect and BioWare games. So executive Casey Hudson and his team are coming off an amazing 8-year run with Mass Effect Trilogy, but they're not done yet. We're releasing more multiplayer content and we have more single-player stories coming through the next 6 months, including Omega, which is coming this fall. But the Mass Effect universe is vast, and Casey and our teams have plans for another full game. Where to go next? With such a project, it has been a question a lot have been asking. We'll love to hear your ideas. So... not really shocking. More Mass Effect. Another full game coming. BioWare lives on. Casey Hudson now clearly taking the reins for the Mass Effect team.
He was always kind of like one of the head guys, though, wasn't he, Casey?
Yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, it kind of feels a little bit like what happened with Bungie and 343 and that split up. When Bungie decided to leave, a lot of the main people behind the Halo game stuck around with Microsoft. Maybe this is going to be a similar kind of situation. It'll be interesting to see if there's any real fallout from this. But, you know, again, the heads of BioWare leaving, while shocking, as long as the rest of the team doesn't bolt, I don't think it really impacts too much.
No.
Yeah.
They got some good people there.
They do. They make some good games.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is it for the news week and the news quiz. So, Mike, you should write it now. Say, ta-da!
Oh, yeah. Ta-da!
Oh, hi! Didn't see you there. You probably know that a game like Borderlands doesn't just make itself. As a matter of fact, it's the combined effort of many talented individuals. Oh, hey, Steve! How are the kids? As you've no doubt seen, we're doing something very different than your average action shooter here would be. Seriously? Your arm's tired? I played the Duke of Buckingham and Richard III with Ian McKellen, ass. This is Bush League. As you've no doubt seen, we're... What the What is your name? Tell me your name! Are you eating a sandwich? You're the sound guy! We can hear that!
I'm professional. I can't believe this.
I'm done!
Really? You want me to do it again? Again? Fine. No, I'll do it again. No, seriously, no, right now. We'll do it again. No, right now. New take, right now. As you've no doubt see. I can't believe this. Really? Oh my god! Did your mom burn you with cigarettes as a child? What the hell's going on? Seriously, Steve, do something with this guy, please! I'm sure you've all heard that our game has, like, a million bazillion guns! But what people probably don't know is that we generate our creatures the same way. I mean, there must be 20 different types of... Cut! Damn it, cut! This is Working with talent can be difficult at times. You know, sometimes I just want unfiltered monk sweat flown in from Tibet. Other times it's a foot massage from Ryan Seacrest. There's an ebb and flow to it all. You gotta understand where they're coming from. You think this is vacation? Does this look like vacation to you? Hang on. Let me make sure I got my flip-flops on. Nope, ain't got shit.
You don't got feet.
Had to go there. You had to go there. I'm pretty sure I found you playing a male prostitute in a Michael Bay remake of Cabaret. You want to go back? Huh? You want to go back to that? What? Huh? Sorry. What? Didn't catch that, Marcel Marceau. Trout! Making Borderlands has been a rocky road. Tasty like the ice cream, but difficult to drive on. What the? Oh, Tony, he didn't just blow himself up and we weren't rolling?
That was somebody else?
Ah, thank goodness. Hey, find out at their reunion. Shooting something like this, you gotta be organic. Sometimes your actors explode, and worse, sometimes they don't. Gotta be creative. Quiet on the set! This is live! We're doing it live! Hey, you brought this upon yourself! It can't all be hookers and sunshine! Action!
All right, so back from the break, it's the old community mailbag. So this week, we kind of, you know, it was a lazy question, let's face it. Pitch us a game, sell us on it, give us the ideal game you would like to see made. I don't know if you guys have anything on top of your head that you might want to see. Me personally, you know, I don't want to see a remake of Road Rash, but I really want to see a Road Rash-like game. Car combat, but more visceral kind of motorcycle, you know.
Carmageddon.
Kinda. But, you know, I want to see the bikes. I want to see the whacking people off the end of the motorcycle and see them go flying.
The whack 'em, smack 'em, stack 'em.
Whack 'em, smack 'em, stack 'em. Yes. Maybe that should be the game right there.
Huh.
It could be that this game is being made, by the way, Loco Cycle. Very well could be this game.
Cycle.
Yes, just throwing that out there. Either of you guys have anything that you think would be a good call for a game to be made?
I'd like kind of like a more open world, like crime, GTA, Mafia 2 type style, but more...
Maybe the lead character is a young, strapping British, you know, young man, kind of tall and lanky.
Yeah, set in Britain, but more RPG-ish. More like... Maybe more RPG-ish somehow. Maybe first person.
Okay.
Yeah. Like an RPG open world crime game. Is there one of those?
Maybe.
I can't think of one.
It's hard to say at this point in time, but there could be.
There could be. You're right. There could be.
Mr. Matthew, anything off the top of your head?
I would like to see a decent science fiction combination flying and third-person shooting slash action. Kind of like I think it was Rogue Squadron 2 kind of did this, where you had bits of the mission where you're flying, and then you would jump down and do bits of the mission where you're on foot, or maybe the Star Wars Battlefront series kind of a thing. With the Blu-ray disc, and the digital download now, we've got enough storage space to make one of those where both parts of the game are actually decent. So that's what I want to see.
Okay. I like it. All right. Well, let's roll over to some of the community feedback. Mr. Matthew, I believe you were going to be talking the gate.
I have the gaming for the elderly responses. Indeed. Nick Nitrous starts off with, I've said this many times before, but I really would love to see a Fallout Skyrim-style RPG with a Gears of War theme. It could be a game where you start as a stranded and eventually become a full-fledged gear, like Dizzy. It could be a city that was devastated by the hammer strikes, and instead of the unusual dungeons and caverns you could explore, locust grub holes and ruined buildings in the city. I think it would have to be set before the whole locust Lambeth story, though. Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Oh, I like it.
Steve-O-Matic says, being a child of the 80s, I would kill for a decent Robotech game. I have to agree with Steve. There have been all have failed. How can you go wrong with the transforming jet and alien invaders? Very wrong, apparently. I don't get it. The series should be perfect for video games, and yet no one has done it right. I think a lot of the anime from the 80s would make really good video games, because gamers kind of go for those over-the-top stories. Anyway, Instant Dead Meat says, how about Deliverance game? Imagine a horror survival game set in the backwoods of Appalachia with crazed banjo-toting killers. That does sound frightening. New Splitters, Monkeys and Guns. Need I say, this is Shark Tremor. He says, new Time Splitters, Monkeys and Guns. Need I say more? There we go.
Okay.
And Parsnip wraps up the thread with, I have a few ideas. You didn't say they had to be good ones, did you? So the first, Sims Revenge. The tables are turned and the Sims rule your life. You therefore get to drink 70 gallons of water only to find your master has removed your toilet and put it in the street in front of your house. You will also drown to death because he will make you go for a swim and then remove the ladder from the swimming pool. If you're really lucky, he may let you not go to work naked. All right.
Okay.
I used to do that with The Sims. Like, I was intentionally trying to get a haunted house, so I had a party and got them all in the pool and then deleted the ladder. When he did.
Sick bastard.
Evil.
Katamari Trout. Make your way to work on the bus while everything you walk near attracts itself to you like beautiful Katamari. Bonus points. If you manage to stick old people and pets to yourself, negative points for fecal matter. Okay. Last but not least, I would make a Cooking Mama Mass Effect hybrid. The controls from Cooking Mama, everything else from Mass Effect. The game would be total rubbish, but the sex scene would be awesome. There you have it.
There you have it. Thank you for that, Parsnip.
There's more.
Okay.
I've often wondered why, seeing as so many teenagers play video games, developers don't make driver's education games or simulators. I suppose it's not sexy enough, although it would be if you made it a Leisure Suit Larry GTA driving education simulator. I think the problem is that some people do think GTA is a driving education simulator.
That's how I pass my test.
Yeah. And the last idea made me think of another idea. We've had driving simulator games, right? What about a driving simulator? This would be the all for all the men whose spouses don't want to play video games with them. Two controllers, one car. Every time the man performs a certain action, the other controller vibrates for quite a long time. Yeah. We're going to stop.
Yeah. Parsnip taking that one right to the gutter.
Yeah.
He went there.
He did go there.
He did go there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't even blink either. I mean, he just got him for it. All right, let's see. We had one response over at the Lag Community, and that was from Bensek. And he said, if done right, the world of Tron could make a killer RPG, much like Dragon Age or Mass Effect. The story could be as simple as your, insert friend, family member, accidentally got sucked into the virtual world, and you have to get them out. Or something more complex, like global politics being affected by what's going on in the computer. The player would be the top programmer for Encom, the company in the Tron series, for those not familiar with it. He is able to hack himself into the system and set himself up as a program. Program refers to a computer program, of course, but would also be the class of the player. To keep with the computer motif, a player does not gain a level, but increases his version number. Programs wouldn't use shields for protection, but instead use firewalls. I like it. It's getting some creativity here. The program then goes through the computer world, finding clues as to the whereabouts of his friend, or doing whatever is to cause much problem in the real world or whatnot. The player will make decisions that can let the computer system have more power, less power, or no power, Each decision will have consequences in the real world as well. There will be romance options. What would an RPG be without virtual love?
Oh, you got to have a bit of romance in there.
Of course. And that would be leading to the choice of the player deciding to become a full-time resident of the virtual world or coming back out to see what his actions have done. I think it's clear. I have been a fan of the Tron story ever since I first saw the movie back in the 80s. I'd love to see a cool RPG game made that is based on that universe. I can't argue. I think he's got some really good ideas for an RPG in the Tron universe. The unfortunate part for him is I think the time to strike with that was right around that release of the Tron movie, the remake.
That would have been good. And the Tron game that came out for the Tron movie was...
It was okay. It wasn't great. Oh, maybe it wasn't great at all. Okay.
it wasn't very good at all.
All right. Well, let's see. Get back on track with the notes. We didn't have any tweets that were directly in response to our question of the week, but we did have, of course, the multiple tweets about the new release music. Hopefully, again, we have fixed that. And at Just Bowsy also threw this little nice tweet towards us. Discovered the hard way that drinking and Forza don't go well together at OC Podcast. So, yes, I found whenever I was drinking and racing in Forza, typically I was finishing at the back of the pack. Unless somehow by a miracle I managed to cause a wreck and not wreck myself, sometimes I would finish towards the front. But it makes it tough. All right, we did get an email, Mike. Why don't you go ahead and hit the email for us?
Yes, please. We did get an email, Greg. We did. And it was from Jay Shoemaker. And he said, "Hey guys, I just wanted to mention this week's victory achieved entrance. Congratulations to Kev.
Sorry, let me. So I believe that is Kev H67.
Kev FHH67. Right. He finished Mark of the Ninja. Chili 1985, don't know who that is.
That jerk.
Finished Inversion. PG Tip 77, finished Mark of the Ninja as well. Bongo the same, finished Skylanders. Wow. Mark Alex finished Lego Harry Potter Years 5 to 7. And Steve-O-Matic finished Transformers: A Fall of Cybertron. Congratulations to everyone, and thank you for participating. Keep those entries coming. Shinyverse." So people are still making entries to the competition that G4TE still have on their Twitter. And you have to take a picture of your face in front of the credits rolling in of the game that you've just finished. And the game must have a start and an end story campaign type thing. It can't be Forza, for example.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and I believe that goes all the way up until October. So still plenty of time.
Still plenty of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, right now we're going to listen to a quick voicemail from Mr. Steve Conger. He sent this to us last Friday. It's a little late, but it's talking about the previous question we had, which is what genre do we want to see make a comeback?
Hello, Overseas Connection. It's your buddy Steve, also known as JSS Lifelike. I heard the episode this week. Great show, by the way. And I was thinking sort of about the question of the week coming up. What genre would you like to see make a comeback? And you know, I gotta say that for me, it's the third-person platformer, the collectathon. I kind of miss it. And that kind of goes hand-in-hand with my input for the show coming up. You know, what would your favorite game be and how would you sell it? I gotta say, it's time for the collectathon, but instead of the normal getting little tiny trinkets and collective little doodads and things like that, why don't you collect parts that sort of make the equipment that sort of lets you progress through the equipment gating sort of model, you know? So you could almost have like a Metroidvania third-person style platformer, but it has to look like a Pixar movie. That's the kicker. That's what you got to do. Or what about a third-person platformer where you have to go around picking up parts of an IKEA piece of furniture, and then you put it together. Oh, never mind. All right, guys, as usual, great show, and I shall be looking forward to the upcoming one as well. So take care. Thanks. Bye.
All right, so thank you for that, Mr. Conger. Yeah, platformer, certainly. We all like platforming games. And collect-a-thon with a Pixar kind of feel. What do you think? Yes, no?
That could work. Metroidvania games, I'm a fan. I support them.
Yeah? Yeah?
And
make
I like,
it, Steve.
I like Pixar, so why not?
I think Steve needs to make it. Clearly,
yeah.
We're not.
Get coding, Steve.
Yeah. All right, let's talk question of the week for next week. Mike, why don't you go ahead and cover that for us?
I will, Greg. I will. Why don't the listeners tweet us or send us an email and they can tell us, if they picked up the new Borderlands 2, what is their go-to class and why? If they haven't got Borderlands 2 yet, what was their go-to class in Borderlands 1 and why? And that was it.
All right. Easy enough. I like
easy
it.
Easy enough.
Go-to class. All right. Now it is time for the events and happenings and our new jingle.
New jingle. Starsky's bored. Let's do this.
Playdates this week, Friday. Join in the Gaming for the Elderly community for some Friday night Forza 4 racing beginning at 8 p.m. British Standard Time. You can figure out what time that is where you live. Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, Ghost Recon Future Soldier. And also the veteran gamers will be playing Modern Warfare 3 at 6 p.m. British Standard Time. We've already talked about the Victory Achieved contest. Keep your entries coming. A Halo 4 tournament, Madden 13 League. Getting going. Check the forums for the entries. Happy birthday this week to Ultraman Odin. And new members, welcome DSUVZ. That's a very strange gamer tag. And the Big Mac, who reminds you to check in on the forums every now and again. Right?
All right. Yeah, right. That's good. I like it. All right, Community Spotlight and Gaming Facts incoming from Mr. Parsnip.
Hello, peeps. This is Parsnip Knows 3000 with another Community Spotlight. Firstly, I owe the podcast guys, who I think I should call the Podbasts, an apology because I completely forgot to send in the spotlight last week. Not only did I lose track of time, I lost track of the day and forgot it was Tuesday, so I'm sending it in nice and early this time. Anyway, this week I want to mention the peeps who turned up for the first renewed Friday night racing session. Incidentally, every week, Friday, 12:15 Pacific, 8:15 UK, and all those other time zones in between, you can figure it out, every Friday on Forza 4. So, thank you very much to all of you who turned up, and you know who you are, but I will tell you anyway, in case you've forgotten you were there. Marcanix, Monster, Kev, Cardinal, Inf the Bro, PG Tips, and Ginge, and me. Anyway, it was very nice to see Monster again after probably a couple of years he's been off the radar. And starting up Friday Night Racing, managed to pull him out of the woods and got him back in the fold with us. So thank you, Monster. It was lovely to see you again. Anyway, I will see you all again next week. Oh, and one last thing. Well done to Skullduggera, who did such a great job on that new jingle last week. Maybe you can do one for this too, because you did a brilliant job on that. Anyway, I'm rivaling Skullduggera with my ums and ahs, so I will stop now and catch you all next week. Bye-bye.
And now, the rest of the story.
Hello, this is me. I'm too lazy to type, so I thought I'd just record this gaming fact. And they are indeed coming from didyounowgaming.com. So here is today's fact. In GTA San Andreas, diet and exercise affect the appearance of the main character. You probably know that already, but did you know that if your character is too fat, any missions involving the jetpack will not start, because it would take a lot more power for him to be propelled and be difficult to balance. So, there you go. He's a big fat git, he ate too many cakes, his jetpack won't work. Isn't that riveting? Okay, that's it for now. Bye.
All right. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Parsnip.
Yeah. He's good like that.
He's a good lad.
Every once in a while he gets sidetracked, you know, off doing his own thing. But,
don't we all, Greg? Don't we all?
Do. We do. We do. All right, let's wrap this show up. Emails, if you want to send a show email, you simply do that at ocpodcast@gmail.com. Email us. We'll get you onto the show, hopefully. If you're going to tweet us, simple as @OC_podcast, and calling the show, you can leave a voicemail like Mr. Conger did, 626-506-2763. I really expect all of our U.S.-based listeners, all two of them, to continue to call in. So we know we've heard from Steve Conger. But Denver J, hello.
Come on. Hey.
Come on. Call the show. You
hello.
Love the show. Come on. And, of course, iTunes and Zune reviews. Really, iTunes reviews, because the Zune is dead. I have to admit it. I have to face facts.
Yes, it's finally here.
Yeah. Yeah. But that leaves us with the closing comments. So, Mr. Matthew, go ahead. Fire us off.
I'm just going to throw a quick shout-out to anybody who wants to play Borderlands on Steam. Please let me know, because otherwise I'll be lonely until my copy arrives on the Xbox 360. Mike.
I would like to shout out Ultraman Alden, because it's his birthday, so shout out to him. And also, shout out to my best friend, Iceman Marshy. You played Ghost Recon with him, Greg, once, twice.
Yeah.
Three times a lady. So he got married on Saturday, Greg.
Sorry. I mean, congratulations.
Yes, he got married to his now lovely wife, Stacy. They are currently in Mexico.
Ah, oh, just down the road.
As we speak.
Sort of.
Not far from you, Greg. Just a couple of miles down there.
One border crossing, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. So they're down in Mexico, living it up, I believe.
Do we know where in Mexico?
I do not know.
Okay.
But they have like the honeymoon suite, and they have a guy that they have like their own section of the beach, and a shoe shiner, and a butler on the beach, and a guy that polishes these sunglasses. Nice. And all this, and they got their own bar and a barman in their own hotel room and all this nonsense. So yeah, congratulations
like
to them. It was a fantastic wedding. It was a great day, and I wish them all the best.
Mike, did you cry?
I did not cry.
Okay.
And Greg, it's over to you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to shout out, of course, Extra Life once again. You know, want to start pushing that as much as possible. So break out your wallets, but there will be a potential reward for you. And I'll leave it at that.
Ooh.
I do want to give a special shout-out to SLH and Just Bowsy and Mr. Killer Cranky. They were all being very helpful when it came to the music levels for the show. So hopefully we fixed it, guys. I do apologize for the
Thank
past.
Thank you for your feedback.
Yes. And a shout-out to Muse Games, because they reached out to us just this past week and wanted to know if we were going to have anybody attending Eurogamer. And so Mike and of course, Mr. Primrose, I believe both of you guys are going to be going, so
uh-huh.
I'll make sure we get you in touch with them.
Who are they?
They make a lot of, it looks like kind of casual downloadable titles. I'm not sure if they're like a Steam title or if they're maybe more iPad-type titles, but I checked out some of their games. Tower defense stuff, that kind of thing.
Ooh, tower defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Now
right
you're talking.
Now I'm talking. All right. That's it, guys.
We're done.
That's a show.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Mr. Primrose, we missed you.
Oh, yeah. Bye, Primrose.
That's it.
Don't
now
come
we're
back. I'm joking. yeah. J'ai ma fool. Yeah. What?
That's not nice.
Well, I'm the only one that's got the guts to say it out of us three.
Mm.
So let's just leave it at that.
Jammer 4.
Do is instead
amateur hour.
You should take what we say and translate the whole thing into Morse code and upload that.
Yeah, do that.
And that will come out really well. That'll probably come out as good as my stupid voicemail on my phone. Now they have this, like it interprets what the voicemail says, and it sends you a text message.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to actually listen to it.
Right.
But you do have to listen to it because it is absolute, utter gibberish.
You should read it out.
That comes through on the phone.
You should read it out.
Well, here, let me see if I can find one for you. I'll read that to you. You'll understand my pain. Trash. Okay. All right. This was one from my dad.
Okay.
And he was calling about the football game last night.
Right.
So this one actually isn't too bad. I'll try and read you one that's better. But anyway, so, hey, Greg, this is Dad. It's about 8:30, wondering if you are watching the Denver in Balkans game. I'm not going to tell you anything about and get your recording. It will chat later. Bye. So that actually, not terribly bad.
We're going to work out what he said.
Yes. Now, this was from my wife.
All right.
Hey, man, asked me, I don't know if you have your phone on silent. Whack, anyway, just trying to call. We're way home. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the jingle. Oh, I gotta shut up.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Nice.
I'm just gonna sit here by myself and try to get in the outtakes.
All right, I'm back. Who's still here?
I'm still here, guapo.
Nice.
Back.
Mike is back. All right. Can you guys hear this noise?
Little bit.
Like something, yeah.
Something.
Rusty piper, rapper, something.
Yeah, something like that. Maybe a little something like that.
Definitely
yeah,
heard that.
Hear all that.
That's yeah, cool. You know what that
two,
is?
You fucking prick. No.
So yes, Amazon fucked you again, Chris. That's all I gotta say.
No, see that's the thing. I got Steam.
Steam, yeah. Steam will love you.
Steam.
Looking through a series of pictures of people wrecking fast cars. So there's an ashamed number of Corvettes in this thread. People just can't drive.
Well, hopefully you will not be one of them.
I hope to not be one of them.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk yeah. about
too
RPGs.
Many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.